You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for August 29th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Liana. How are you doing, Liana?
I'm good. I know that this was maybe not the HOH outcome that some of us were hoping for, but there is still a lot going on and a lot of stuff being planted for either this week if the veto gets used or the weeks to come. So I think we have a lot to get into today.
Yes. There's quite a lot to talk about. There was pretty much a constant game being spoken today, and none of it's particularly relevant to this eviction, but it's all relevant for future evictions. So we'll talk about it all in a jam-packed day of game talk. We started the day. Hold on, I forgot to tell you, it was day 24. Day 24 in the house. Enzo is the HOH, of course. He had previously talked about the plan was Kaser and a pawn, and then a potential Ian backdoor. So that's the current tentative plan. But we started the day with Devon and Bailey. Just briefly talking about like what's up with you? Day's asking Bailey, what's up with you and Kevin? Like, what's your problem with Kevin? You might have remembered about a week ago at this point, Bailey was a have not and she was not feeling great. And she complained to Devon about people touching her. She also complained to Devon about Kevin. He just annoys her, that she feels like he can dish it, but he can't take it. And so like, he'll like take jibes at her and then she'll kind of like shoot back and he'll be like, ah.
Yeah. I mean, Kevin definitely has the attitude of like a little like sad sack kind of puppy. And that's also later in the day. It sort of continues and that just really bothers Bailey. And I totally get why.
But a puppy that will bite you.
Right. A puppy that will bite you, but then will whimper if you try to go after. Oh, no, don't hurt me. And Bailey just really does not like Kevin, thinks he doesn't like his tone, thinks that he's bitchy. And obviously, if Devon wants to work with Kevin, but her closest ally, Bay, doesn't want to work with Kevin, that's clearly a problem.
Yes. So they briefly talk about that. Enzo is going to talk with Memphis. Enzo is going to start his one-on-one conversations. The first one is Memphis. And similar to Memphis's HOH conversations, Enzo's conversation with Memphis is very brief. Enzo's like, hey, we're good, yo. And Memphis is like, cool. Glad to hear it. Great talk.
Yep.
And Enzo goes, next.
Yeah. And so saying, oh, yeah, I got to talk to everybody. So, you know, he's got that cue line ready. He's got to rotate through a Memphis. Of course, we know doesn't need to be talked to frequently. So just touch base with him. Tell him he's good. You know, they're all about the loyalty. And so that's it. That's all he needs.
Yes. All right. Next. Cody comes in. Enzo says, all right, I'm thinking, you know, throw up Kacer, Neil, you know, Kevin, yo, something like Kevin. We reevaluated the veto. He doesn't want to take out David because the girls are coming after David and he doesn't. That's fine. Let them go after David. And getting Ian out is great because it forces Danny and Nicole to start playing. They gotta start playing, yo. They gotta do their own thing. But Kacer is still kind of the priority here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, Kacer is the priority. What is a frequent topic of conversation throughout the day is Kevin versus David as the other slot on the block. And then, of course, what would happen if there needed to be a replacement nomination? And so Enzo's logic to his closest allies is that, well, you know, the girls are going to go after David, so that's not a problem for me. Why would I go after somebody who, you know, like isn't a threat to my game? What he uses to everybody else is David is really good at competition, so he doesn't want somebody who could win the veto playing with him. And so that's sort of what we hear Enzo say multiple times throughout the day to different people.
Mm-hmm. Not going after Dave, yo. Why would I do that? It doesn't make any sense. They do their own thing.
Oh my God. I heard the same phrases from Enzo so many times today. I mean, of course we have, that's what I'm saying, which is a classic. We also got, that's what I'm saying. We get just stay loyal, actions, not words. And then when he's complaining about Davon, when she was cheering for Kacer, it was the waving pom poms.
This is my first HOH, yo. I'd say it's, this sucks. I don't like it. We're going to stick to winning the vetoes.
So all of these conversations are relatively similar, just seeing different phrases mix and matched in sort of like an Enzo Mad Lib style, just depending on who he's talking to. Yeah. It got annoying by the end of the day.
Yeah. All right. Well, he's done with next. Bring in the next one. He talks to David. He's like, hey, yo, you got to keep things close, man. David's like, yeah, I learned my lesson last week. I got in some, you know, trouble. It's like, you're good, yo, you're good.
So after you share the comparison to Nathan For You, the one that was on the Reddit post where it was like the 7-year-old who was giving the job interview, that's literally all I can hear now when David is talking. It's so funny. If anyone, just go to YouTube, watch the Nathan For You job interview 7-year-old. Like, that's all you have to Google. It's exactly how David talks. And it's so funny because David is now referring to himself as a rookie. Like, he just got inceptionized based on everyone calling him a rookie, which is just such an all-star season to have that term being thrown around is so bizarre.
He went from giving people advice on how to play the game to now being like, I don't know, I'm just gonna sit in my corner like a rookie, like the rookie that I am.
I mean, that's fine. There's this one still. I didn't tweet it, but maybe I will. It's like David in the background just like has glasses on and he's just looking over Bailey's shoulder. Like that's what he's doing now. He's just sort of pulled back a little bit. I didn't really see him much on feeds. He's just a rookie, man.
He's a rookie. All right. Next. Give in the next one. Bailey comes in. Bailey wants to know who are those votes last week? What was up with those votes? Enzo's like, I don't know, yo. She thinks it might have been David in Memphis. Enzo's like, what about Kevin? Could have been Kevin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is part of Enzo's plan to try to get Kevin, like, oh yeah, like Kevin should go on the block. Like, to give some suspicion out there by saying that, you know, Kevin was the one that threw this hinky vote. I thought it was funny because Bay like straight up asked Enzo, was it you? Of course, oh no. Like, no, man, totally wasn't me.
No. He says, of all the girls, yo, I've got the best connection with you. And she agrees. She says, they both vibe well with each other, that they've always gotten along really well. She says that she's good with whatever he wants. His HOH, he won it. Do what he wants with it.
Yeah. That's what I always say, yo.
That's, hey, I want it. It's mine. I do what I want. He says that he does sometimes worry about Devon because she's always fact checking and causing paranoia. And she's like, yeah, you know, that's Devon. He says that he wants to keep David in Memphis because, you know, they're going after each other. People are going after them. It just doesn't make sense to put them on the block, and that there's an obvious target. And then, you know, like a pawn. And when Vito comes, we'll see.
Mm hmm. Yep. I mean, he doesn't necessarily want to give away to anyone other than really Cody and maybe Tyler that he's thinking of putting up Kevin. But you can definitely see the seeds because he's saying not David. So if it's not David, then Kevin really is the only other person that falls into that slot.
Next. Bring in the next one. Enzo and Kacer going to talk. Kacer comes in. Kacer says, look, I feel like we have a good relationship. And I want you to know that I have your back, Enzo. Enzo says, yeah, I'm just going to talk with everyone. The person that goes up, I just hope they know it's nothing personal. Kacer's like, well, so is that how it's going to, is like, are you going to talk with everyone and they're going to say, put Kacer up and then you're going to throw me up? Is that the thing? But no. I'm going to make my own decision. Kacer's like, okay, cool. I respect you a lot. And I just want you to know, I hate floaters in this game. I don't want to name names, but like my philosophy in this game is anti-floater, especially all-stars. I don't want these floaters sticking around. And I just hope that we can work together long-term in the future.
Yeah. So that was Kacer's angle was, look, I respect that you're playing hard. I respect you. We need to get out the people who are just floating in the middle, knowing, of course, the Kacer obviously doesn't fall under that category. But Enzo is already starting to show nervousness around Kacer. Like, I'm pretty sure Enzo said, I don't want you to come to me only if you need something, which Kacer is coming up to talk to him because he obviously doesn't want to get put on the block. And then seeds of this show up later in the nomination speech. And so, you know, the writing's on the wall for Kacer at this point.
Yeah, I actually think that Kacer did well in this conversation. I think that he said the right things and he said them in the right way. The problem is that he did not say them 3 weeks ago.
Yes.
That's the problem because, and I think the reason I'm calling it effective is that I think it hit Enzo after Kacer leaves. He's like, he's a good guy, man, but he talked no game with me for 4 weeks. He didn't say anything bad about me, but he didn't talk game with me until just now. Like I think he feels like Kacer said all the right things and now he's feeling bad. He's feeling like that little bit of like, is this the right thing? And then he's convincing himself, no, it is the right thing because he didn't talk game with me until just now. This is the first time in 4 weeks. So I'm sticking with my decision. I don't have to feel bad about it.
This is so frustrating because it's like a second week in a row where, you know, Tyler maybe isn't super, super duper happy. The fact that, you know, he put up Janelle and Kacer, right, thinking about other ways it could have worked, and to have Enzo maybe potentially do the exact same thing just based on sort of what the other alliance members in the house really want to do instead of thinking, well, Kacer, I think, would happily work with Enzo. And, you know, that's going to, you know, maybe hurt Enzo, although he's so well protected with so many other relationships in the house that this is one of those weeks where it's like, look, he's the target. We'll get him out, make everybody happy, and then we'll work on that civil war later.
Yeah. And I mean, the problem is that, like, from Enzo's perspective, and really from even just watching, like, I think Kacer said all the right things, but I don't trust Kacer to work with Enzo long term when Enzo is actually in a big, like, Kacer cannot help himself but to go for the big alliances. And, you know, even if he is pulled into one or if he has a relationship, like, Kacer is just not built to be a parachute alliance. He will suss it out and he will blow it up. So it just doesn't work.
I mean, he plays so aggressively, and I know that it's like, oh, well, he's on the, you know, he's going to go up on the block. Of course, he's going to play aggressively. That's just who he is. And he kind of can't help himself. He had that conversation with Janelle last week. She was like, cool down, calm down, don't do that. It's like, I just can't. It's not in my nature. And so even, yes, like you're saying, even if he were to be brought in, he's not just going to coast and wait to make a move later. He just can't do that.
And here's the thing. He focused a lot on Jackson's game last season, and he focused a lot on like the big alliances running things. I really think that Kacer needed to study Cliff's game last season, because Cliff is the perfect example of what Kacer could have been if he was smarter about the way that he approached this big alliance. Cliff knew there was a big alliance, and he subtly worked his way into it, helped break it apart, and then cruised his way to the end, where, you know, then he screwed up and got beat. But like, hey, if Kacer made it to the Final Four, I mean, we're cooking.
Could you imagine? Oh my gosh. I don't even want to, I'm gonna try to like get the thought out of my head. Too fan fiction-y potentially. But I think that's the thing, is like when you have the changes in the way that the gameplay is occurring in modern seasons, and you have these big alliances or big different sort of oniony, circly alliances that are set up early, that requires a different attack plan. And Kacer is using the old game plan when he really needs the new game plan. So,
and there are bigger splits in this big alliance than there were in 21. Like they are all over the place, just waiting for somebody like Cliff to just blow it all up. But instead of trying to fit in the cracks and separate them, they're trying to take a sledgehammer to the whole thing, and it's not fitting in the cracks, and it's solid.
That's what, oh my gosh, this is what like gives me hope with the rest of the season, because this alliance is so ready to fracture. It's so ready to fracture. And that's what I want. I want Kacer to just come in and just think like one little crack, and I think it could shatter the whole thing. Unfortunately, that's not what's happening, but I think it will soon.
Yeah. All right. So next, bring in the next one. All right. We got Tyler coming in. Tyler says, did you see Day going crazy for Kacer during that HOH? She's rooting for him. He says, I think we can trust Bailey of all the most of all the girls. And Tyler agrees. He says that they should leave David in the house because all the girls don't like him. Tyler mentions that Danny was being sketched this morning. Tyler thinks Danny was one of those votes for Kacer.
I mean, he's not wrong. He's also talking to the other person who was one of those votes. That was what was really hilarious, was because Enzo is at the center of so many conversations today by nature of being HOH. And he talked about the Hinkie votes so many times. And to hear him throw out, could have been so-and-so, could have been so-and-so. But whenever Danny's name came up, either because she was in the conversation or because Tyler was throwing out that it was Danny, and to hear Enzo, no, definitely could have been Danny. It just tickled me, made me laugh.
Yeah. Tyler earlier was talking about it. He was I'm just glad it wasn't me. They're like, oh, what? Oh, yeah, you were HOH. She's like, yep, can't blame me. Can't try it this time, guys. I wasn't even voting.
Exactly. Fool me once, shame on me. Like, try to fool me twice. Nope, I'm HOH.
He was like, if anyone tries to blame it on me, you know it's them, because I didn't even vote.
Yeah, that's a great point.
So Enzo says, I think she was trying to blame Day and Bay with it. Enzo says, we got to get the others to take these girls out for them. That's Enzo's plan. But Tyler's like, hey, I'll backdoor her. I don't care. I'll backdoor Danny. I'm down to do whatever. So Tyler says, all right. So Kevin and Kacer is probably the plan. And Enzo's like, yeah. That's it. And he says, hey, Christmas is great for us. She's going after all the people we wish. Christmas will go after these people for us. I was like, yes, totally agree. Christmas is great. And yeah, she even sees what Danny's doing herself. He's like, yeah. She told me that last night. Tyler says, if he gets a power, he's concerned about these powers, this new twist, he'll only tell Enzo and Cody. Enzo's like, yeah, me too. I'll tell you and Cody. So that was an interesting conversation there.
Mm-hmm. I think something else that we should mention is, normally for the safety suite, feeds would be down for a portion of the Friday day. But obviously the safety suite is now over, but another room has not opened up yet. So if there is going to be a room open up this week, it's not going to affect anything before veto.
Yes. Also, the fact, like, we got all these conversations because there was no safety suite this week.
Right, exactly.
After Tyler leaves, Enzo says, all right. Day's going to come in next. You should have put up Dave in Memphis. No way. You do it, Day. I want to see if Ian finally talks game with me. What's Ian going to say? Who else? Got to talk to Nicole. Nicole, what the F? Got to talk to her. all right, next.
Yeah, the Enzo inner monologue is something to behold.
I'm surprised I haven't seen Nicole what the F before. I thought that was a new one that I hadn't seen.
Yeah, that's pretty clever.
Yeah. In the meantime, Christmas is talking to David, and she says, look, I just want to talk to you about something that the other night I was talking with Devon and Bailey and a couple other people about you and how you're new to the game. And we said some things about that, and we were just talking about it, and we weren't being very nice. And I shouldn't have done it. I want to apologize that I shouldn't have participated. If you have any questions, just let me know. I just wanted to own up to it and apologize. So I don't have any questions. It's all good.
I mean, David doesn't know what planet he's on, so it's fine. I love all the concern. Christmas is so worried. Oh, maybe I need to put David up. I need to send David home because he overheard. Not a problem.
Yeah, it's fine. So Cody's also going to be talking to Nicole while a lot of these conversations are happening. So Cody and Nicole, they have a relationship. If you didn't see 16 or you didn't watch the feeds on 16, they had a very like playful relationship where he'd like make fun of her and she'd be like, ah. And so this season she's the winner and he's like not, right? So like the power dynamic is a little bit different, but he still makes fun of her and she still kind of goes, ah. And so they kind of had this thing where they just wanted to clear up, like, we're good. I hope when we're joking around, I hope you don't take it personally. I really do trust you a lot. She says that she trusts him more than anyone else in the house. She doesn't even a little bit not trust him, she says. And he says, the bickering is just to convince people we're not close, especially Danny. If Danny doesn't think that we're close, if Danny thinks that she's the middle person between us, then she's going to feel very comfortable. And so that's a good place to be.
Mm-hmm. Although Danny does come in while they're talking, which was kind of funny when they were saying, like, oh, make sure that, you know, we pretend like we're not super close, except so many other people in the house have clocked that they are very close. So they're doing a bad job of it, probably mostly because I guess it could be both. But Cody was saying, like, oh, you know, Nicole, you keep saying that we're so close to people. Stop doing that. You know, you need to pretend like we are not as close so that we can work together in the future, because they, at least in this conversation, say that they trust each other 100%.
Yeah. And I mean, that's sort of the thing, though, that like they have thrown enough obfuscation around this this pair that, you know, when people talk about Cody, they often do talk about Cody and Tyler, Cody and Enzo, even mm-hmm. sometimes Cody and Danny. They do sometimes talk about Cody and Nicole, but it's actually one of the fewest people that he gets linked to. That's a terrible way of saying that.
I guess Kaser is really the only one who's saying that, and you know, his word is
Kaser's the one that says Tyler and Cody.
Yeah.
Devon's the only one that says Nicole and Cody.
Oh, yes, that's right.
But I think it's also a good point. Like, I think that it is a large part of what makes Danny feel so comfortable with Cody is that she thinks she has Cody and she thinks she has Nicole, and that makes her the central person in that trio. And I think that's why she wants to go to the end with them, because she feels like she's the central piece of it. And she's not.
Yeah, unfortunately for Danny, all of her allies are skeptical. Cody is skeptical. Nicole is a little bit skeptical, especially because Danny wants Ian out, whereas, of course, Nicole is very close with Ian. Enzo, Tyler, I mean, really, the whole list has mentioned at some point, oh, we got to watch out for Danny. Danny's playing a good game. We got to watch out for Danny. I really wish Danny knew how fragile her position in the game is right now, because I would love to see what she could do knowing that she wasn't as comfortable as she thinks she is.
Mm-hmm. He lets Nicole know that that Enzo wants to backdoor Ian. I almost said Io's, like Enzo. I almost combined Enzo and Ian there. So Nicole says she's fine getting rid of Ian, but preferably not this week. She says that Ian is very hard to trust. He's very wishy-washy. She says Tyler's like your Ian, Cody. We've got to keep him around for now. Meaning Tyler. And she says that, but Danny's hell bent on getting Ian out, but like she has her own Ians. Like, why is she doing that? And Cody says that, she's playing the whole house. And Cole says she's really good.
That's what I'm talking about. There's that suspicion, mm-hmm. and it's starting to fester. And there are more and more reasons every day. These little groups are talking about, oh, Danny. I really think she is going to be the first one that is going to suffer when this alliance fractures.
Mm-hmm. Nicole also talks about how she likes Ian, but she doesn't find him trustworthy. He's not carrying his own weight, and that she's just not worth she's not adding much to their relationship. She's very annoyed with it, but if they end up on the block together, here it is. She says, it's crazy how many times I've had to save Ian already. What has he done for me? This is annoying. Well, at least if we end up on the block together, it'll all pay off, because he'll be sent home instead of me.
Mm-hmm, exactly. You want something out of your investments. And that's exactly what Nicole says here. Yeah, the goal is to pay for it, or to pay it off even, right? So we're talking about what is this worth? And it's if they go up together, which is another reason why, of course, you wouldn't want Ian backdoored this week, because then it removes the pair option. So then Nicole is the only winner left in the house. And Cody even throws that idea out to Enzo later of like, look, remember, if you take out Ian this week, then there's only one winner left, which puts Nicole in jeopardy. Obviously, Enzo doesn't really care, because Enzo doesn't super care for Nicole. It's not a priority for him, but it is a priority for the other members of the alliance.
Mm-hmm. They also talk about, she's like, why doesn't Enzo feel comfortable telling me that he wants to take out Ian? Like, I want him to feel comfortable talking to me about that. So Cody's like, he's only going to tell me. He's only going to tell me. That's it. He says that he told Christmas that Ian told him that Kacer said his name, and he wants to see what Christmas does with this. Because if she goes to Ian and it blows up, or if Ian blows up, he doesn't mind. And Nicole's like, well, you got to be careful with that. The one time I tried something like that on 18, it almost ruined my game. I told Frank that Day was coming for him, and then everything blew up. And Cody's like, well, the difference is that you were in the middle of that. This is Ian's thing. And so Nicole's like, well, don't tell Danny anything that I told you. It's like, no, of course not. Of course not. But they agree that Danny does really like them. And Cody mentions how important it is that she feels like she's the person tying the two of them together. And he says that he feels like he did with Frankie, with Danny. Like, Danny is the Frankie of the group.
I don't want that image in my head.
It's actually a pretty decent comparison.
I expect then Danny to throw glitter as well when she exits the Big Brother house. I don't know how that would work. But we could get her some glitter, I'm sure.
Yeah. Enzo is going to talk with Danny, getting back to the Enzo conversations. Danny's like, did you see Bailey and Devon? And he's like, yeah, I saw them cheering. And she was like, no, this morning with the luggage and stuff. And he's like, Well, they were cheering and stuff with Kacer. So then Danny asks Enzo, what was up with those two votes last night? It had to be Bay and Day, right?
I literally laughed out loud at this moment. I'm sitting watching Vizo and because the fact that you have the two people who both threw the hinky votes, not knowing, of course, that one another was going to throw the hinky votes, discussing what the outcome was. It was like something out of a skit or a TV show. Fabulous.
It was very funny. Very funny. I posted the Spider-Man gif of like the pointing at himself. Nicole ends up coming in. And they both ask, like, who is he thinking for the pawn? He says Kevin. Danny says that David will be easier as a pawn, though, because it'll be easier to smooth that over. He's going to be mad. But Enzo's like not even listening to her. Danny says, well, don't you think that if Kacer leaves that David will now like go after Tyler and Cody because of all that stuff? Like, Danny's motive here, she wants David out. She wants to keep Kacer. She wants David on the block, and she wants to keep Kevin off the block because she has a good relationship with Kevin. She feels like she has an okay relationship with Kacer, and she feels like she wants to take advantage of this situation with David to get David out. She doesn't believe that David is not working with Bailey and Devon, and that taking David out takes away a number from Bailey and Devon, where Kevin is a number for them too, but she feels like she also kind of has Kevin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is interesting because I feel like a lot of people were pushing for David to be the other person, but Enzo was like, no, it's Kevin. Nothing you can say will change my mind.
The more they pushed, the more he was like, great, you do it then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And that's his whole point. And one of his things he kept saying throughout the day was that, you know, they got to win something. The girls got to win something. Well, they'll take him out. They'll take him out. Why would I bother? And so it's interesting. It's, you know, of course, when you try to force somebody to do something, they do the opposite. It's exactly what happened here.
Mm-hmm. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. Enzo says, Dave's going to go for Memphis. Memphis and Day. Cody joins them, and it's a core four meeting now. Danny says that she doesn't buy that David would do that. Enzo says that Kacer told him, Kacer told me to do what I want and not what the house tells me to do. And Cody's like, that's exactly the kind of stuff that Donnie would say to me all the time. He'd be like, oh yeah, yeah, you gotta be worried about the house. This is what the house is gonna do. This is what their side is gonna do. And by the house, he meant Derek. And so he's like, this is the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the exact same thing here, where essentially Kacer will project onto Enzo that the house is some group of Cody, Danny, Nicole, Tyler, potentially. Those are the people who are actually running the show. And Enzo is just doesn't really know what he's doing, man. He's just, you know, he's being driven by these other people. And this, you know, they talk about multiple times. And of course, Kacer does think this. So he's not wrong. Cody's not wrong here in making that assumption.
Mm-hmm. So then they see that Kevin and Day are waiting outside the HOH room, and they have to like pretend that they were just hanging out. So they open the door and they're like, what are you guys doing out there? Why aren't you in here with us? We're just chilling in here. We're just hanging out. Like, oh, I thought you were having like strategic talks. Like, oh, no. We were just hanging out. We were just I don't know why you guys were waiting outside, because they couldn't like funnel out with those two waiting outside.
Right. Of course. I mean, they definitely weren't cheering core four before. Just chilling, just hanging out, eating pop chips. No biggie.
It's pretty funny. So Kevin comes in, and we miss the entire conversation with Kevin and Enzo. Unfortunately, the feeds go down for no reason. Devon comes in. We miss some of that as well. But he's mostly just filling her in on the plan. It's pretty generic stuff. Christmas is going to talk with Cody. This was when Cody talked to Christmas and said that Ian was saying that Kacer said his name recently. Christmas is going to talk with Enzo, and Enzo is going to talk about how he's frustrated with the floaters. And Christmas talks about like, yeah, they're frustrating, but they can't do much. Like the real dangers are the quiet couples. She says that on Cody's season, they took Victoria all the way because she what was she going to do? Like the floaters are fine. It's the couples that are the danger. In my season, we'd butter up the floaters to get them to target bigger players for us. And then we'd throw the comp. They would throw the HOH to them and then they'd do the work for us. That's how you operate. Right. And I thought this was very funny because this is exactly what Enzo is trying to do to Christmas.
Yeah, it's funny to watch them try to play each other because I think they both think that they have influence over the other person. And so it's a really hilarious, but also somewhat, I'm sure from their perspective, frustrating conversation that the other person isn't taking in the information that they're trying to push on them. But I will say to hear Enzo say, oh, man, I really hate floaters. And then knowing that Kacer earlier in the day said, I want to go after floaters. Like, oh, it's a match. Come on, guys. Swipe right.
Yes. So that was a funny conversation. Ian comes up and talks to Enzo. Ian says that one of the nominees seems pretty clear, but he's not sure about the other one. Enzo says, yeah, just a pawn. He says, I'm not putting you up, Ian. I
protect you. You protect me, yo. That's it.
Ian says, yeah, I'm due for a win. I feel due for the amount of people that said they were due for a win yesterday, or that they were told they were due for a win was way too many people considering nobody's won anything except for like four dudes.
What does that even mean? You're due for a win,
especially from Ian, who should know better about statistics and probability.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It doesn't change. What are you even talking about? I'm sorry. This isn't a library. There's nothing due. Okay. You just need to. Oh my gosh. And the number of times like Enzo chip up and win it, which I don't even know if that's a saying, but I start using it. Chip up and win it, guys. Oh my goodness. What a mess. But there was one other thing from the Christmas Enzo conversation that I wanted to bring up, which is that Christmas is also suggesting to put up David. Okay, so yes. Like, I just want to emphasize that it feels like the whole house, David should go up. Kevin's fine. You know, we can use Kevin, blah, 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 whatever. Anyway.
Well, it's David had this thing, and you know how it works is that you often use situations like that as an excuse to put people on the block. And so they feel like, oh, there's a thing that David did that mm-hmm. can now be used as an excuse. This is an easy excuse, put up David. But the problem is that like those excuses are never the actual reason. Right. There's another reason and that the excuse is used for, and the people in power don't care to put David on the block. So it's not an actual reason anymore.
Right, exactly. Plus David is due for a win. That's what I keep hearing.
Exactly.
So
Bailey's going to talk with Davon about Nicole being a problem. Nicole is a problem for her, at least. Davon says that she was told that Kevin is going to be a pawn. Did he tell you who's going to go up? Bailey's like, no. Did he tell you? And he's like, yeah. It's Kevin. And Bailey just goes, well, that's gonna be a meltdown. Like she smiled, like she was so happy.
Yeah, we obviously know she's not the biggest fan of Kevin, and knowing how Kevin reacts and the fact that Kevin will be surprised by this nomination will definitely cause an emotional reaction.
Mm-hmm. Day says part of her wants to tell Kevin. No. They both thought that David was the move. But it's not that. Day says that Enzo wanted to save David for another time. She's like, save him for another time? Okay. Okay, Boys Alliance.
Wink. That's code for, Guys Alliance.
Bailey says that, you know, we may have made a mistake saying that we're the people in the alliance are free to have side deals, because now, like, we don't know what the side deals are. And it's again, it's like, Bailey, it doesn't matter what you told them they were allowed to do or not allowed to do.
Like, unfortunately, they will not ascribe to whatever random rules you set in place. If they're going to have side deals, they're going to have side deals. It doesn't matter what you allow them to do.
Mm-hmm. Bailey says that she's been hearing that David has been going around saying he feels betrayed. It's like, by who?
Oh my gosh. I could not even with this conversation. So David feels betrayed that Devon went to go fact check, right? Is the situation? Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness gracious. But of course, like, it's so funny because we know the story that Cody and Tyler are lying. And so David feels betrayed because he's in the right, but Day is upset at him because of the lies that Tyler and what a mess.
I mean, to be honest about this situation, other than leaking information, which is the wrong that David did, David is actually the most in the right in this situation.
That's what I'm saying.
because Cody and Tyler Tyler in particular did go to David to tell him that Devon was flipping on him. Devon was flipping on him. All David did was tell both sides the truth. And then they both got mad at him for blowing their spots up. They both reconciled with each other, blamed him for it. And now he mostly blames Devon for fact checking, which also was like, he was telling her the truth. Fact checking blew his spot up. He should feel a little bit betrayed by that, but she feels betrayed by him for saying the information, which was true. But like, to her, it's not true, because I think in Devon's mind, like, during that week, the fact that she didn't end up flipping is like, that was me sticking my neck out. I wanted to. I was considering it. And then I chose not to. I stuck my neck out for you. And now you're not trusting me? Like, but what he's concerned about is that, like, if there was any point in which she was flipping, then that might mean that it's more than just a consideration. And so he thinks it's worse than it actually is. And so it's just a huge mess.
Because I think the other thing, too, is that David, I don't know. Yeah, he's not good at the game. Yet in this situation, he is technically in, like you said, in the most right situation. But Day just seems to completely have forgotten, or like you said, just misinterpreted what happened and how her actions come across. And so then therefore she's just like, no, that doesn't even make sense. It's in the same way that Kacer and Janelle, the conversations keep having, like, oh, well, Kacer and Janelle put a target on themselves because they played in the safety suite competition, when in reality, we know that Cody was at least tossing around going after them. So it's misrepresentation of history. And so, unfortunately, the person who actually is in the most right in this situation is the one who's on the outs.
Yeah. And we see this happen a lot in Big Brother, and also probably real life a lot, where basically David is the person introducing a set of information that is inconvenient or upsetting for everybody else. And so it's very like the instinct that people have is to pick apart what he's saying, try to find inconsistencies, discredit him, shame him, blame him. And now he is the bad guy when he was, you know, the victim in a way.
Well, and neither side like it, right? Because it's not advantageous for their game. So it behooves them to come together and be like, oh, yeah. No. That's definitely not how it went down, because it's better for us to all work together. That leaves David on the outs.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. It's interesting to see these things happen. And like I said, it happens a lot. The person that tries to, I mean, it basically has happened to Kacer. It's happened, like, it's very easy to discredit people telling the truth in Big Brother and make them out to be the big bad.
Right. You've heard the phrase, don't shoot the messenger. Like, that's exactly what this is.
If you're able to make David the big bad, the person that is screwing everyone over, the person that is lying and coming up with false information, and Tyler and Cody are the truthful beacons of light. You have really somehow been able to warp some facts around in your head.
It is the epitome of good and bad gameplay at the same time, depending on who you're talking about in the situation.
So she says that Bailey says that she notices that Memphis has been chummy with them lately. And Day says, well, maybe Janelle told him to be good with us when she left. Maybe that we got like a little bit of a bonus there from Janelle. Day says that even if Tyler is part of some stuff like a boy's, that's fine. Bailey says, yes, I believe Bailey says, I don't want to look stupid, but I do believe that Tyler will not turn on us. I do believe that what he, you know, that the what he's saying about the fans and like not wanting to ruin this relationship, I do believe that is true. And she is right, except for the us part.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's what happens when you have all of these little circles. Us may have different meanings depending on who you're talking to and who you're talking about.
Yeah. Day says, okay, my only thing is, in the final three, me, you, Tyler, I know Tyler will take you, so that secures you, but like, I need my own security, so what I want to do, I want to work on Enzo for myself. And so we'll have like a final four of Tyler and Enzo, and then they're like, okay, well, then how would that work? We could try to get them to go after each other. And then Bailey's like, well, at the final three, what we can do is we can try and get whoever the third person is to throw the first part of the HOH to one of us. And then we've got a better chance. I'm just like, guys,
let's work on getting you both to jury first. Okay. Yeah. What are you even talking about? Also, there's so many things that are incorrect about this, because Enzo much prefers Bay over mm-hmm. Day. So in what world would Enzo then pick Day unless it's a goat type situation, which actually may happen. But just, oh my goodness, it was definitely putting the cart before the horse.
Yeah. But I mean, again, like this is such classic Devon. Like this is Devon who turned down a 5-person alliance because at final five, she didn't have anyone. It's again, like she's working on the puzzle that is her game and she's trying to solve the whole thing, so that she can like just go along for the ride. But like she shouldn't be concerned about the final three right now. She should be concerned about next week.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is that she's trying to solve the puzzle, but she's got incorrect pieces. Mm-hmm. And so that doesn't help.
Yeah. Bailey says that Danny's snappiness is getting to people. Enzo's not feeling her.
Yeah. And she's on slop this week, right? Mm-hmm. So that also might not help.
They talk about who they can't nominate. And this is, again, like they feel very, there's a lot of talk about like who people can't nominate this season. Day says, I can't nominate Kevin. I can't nominate Nicole unless it's an emergency. So she was being truthful about not being able to nominate Nicole. Which is a good, like, she shouldn't nominate Nicole. Like, Nicole is like the one person that will stick up for Day, in that group. Bailey says she can't put up Christmas or Memphis. And Day's like, oh yeah, I also made a deal with Memphis. I forgot about that. I can also not put Memphis up.
I can't keep track of all of this because they have this conversation. And then I believe Cody and Danny and Enzo also have a conversation about who they can and can't put up. Okay, guys, sure.
Well, whatever. You know, funny enough, like the other half of the alliance is like, well, we're not going to put up Memphis. We're going to have Day and Bay do it.
Right. Oh, wait, but they both made deals with Memphis. Oh, man. Old man, yeah. Memphis might make it to the end of the game.
Day says Christmas is like your Nicole. I think Christmas is Nicole's Nicole, and Christmas is going after Bay. So
I don't think, again, the wrong piece. Okay, try to put together this puzzle with the wrong pieces, it's just not going to work.
Mm. All right, so Kacer's going to have a talk with Ian just about like how much he's rooting for Ian in the game and how much he wants to support him. They have a nice conversation. Ian's having a rough day. He had a lot of caffeine and they have no backyard. So he's it's been a tough one.
Yeah, he was he's been struggling today. And I think also with the nervousness, of course, of having Enzo as the HOH, which they have a conversation later. But he's clearly doesn't feel 100% comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Day is going to talk with Danny. Danny asks Day how she feels about Christmas. She's in with a lot of people, huh? What do you think about Christmas? Danny is so, and I've been saying this since before Danny got caught. I was like, she seems so obvious, but nobody's caught on yet. Now people have caught on, and I am going to continue to say she is so obvious about this when she does it. And she's like, how do you feel? How do you feel about Christmas? Day, though, responds by saying, all right, Danny, why'd you vote to keep Janelle? Because you love her? Danny's like, you're funny.
Was Devon joking here?
No, they discussed.
She was serious, right?
Both her and Bailey are convinced that Danny was one of the hinky votes and that she was trying to blame them.
Exactly, because they think it's a trap for them to set them up, which Bailey was like, Janelle's my girl. Y'all know that Janelle is my girl. So, of course, I'm going to support her. I would happily admit if I voted for her. But yes, this was, oh my gosh, this was Day doing her best detective work. She's got her cap on. She's got the little magnifying glass and she's just zoning right on in on Danny.
She just can't help it. She just like she wants to poke. So they talk about who might play. Again, I thought this was interesting. Danny says that or Devon says that she would like to see Danielle Reyes play again. And Danny's like, I can't believe she wasn't asked. And Day was like, I think she was asked. And Danny's like, I don't think so. She's like, no, I'm pretty sure she was asked. But I think that she declined because, you know, she's got a reputation. She doesn't want to like ruin the reputation. And Danny was like, that's my theory about why Dan didn't play. And they're like, these losers not playing because of their reputation. I'm kidding. I like Dan. He's a nice guy. And Day tells a story about how after season 18, Dan grilled James about why he came for Day on his season. And he was like, why'd you turn on Day? James? And he was like, ah, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, but why'd you do it? He's like, oh, well, you know, this and that. But why, James? And he's until he finally admitted, like, I didn't have a good reason, okay? Day was like, I loved that. And they say, super nice.
Okay, so I thought that when Janelle left, we were going to lose stories about other house guests or like former players, because Janelle was the one who was usually talking the most about former players. But I'm happy that this is continuing. I love all of these little nuggets and all of these little stories. It just makes my soul warm.
It's fun. All right. Feeds go down for nominations. Kacer and Kevin have been nominated for eviction. In the speech, Enzo mentioned that he hadn't been talked game to from, you know, I don't know how he worded it, but Kevin kind of thought that it might be implying that it was him, but it wasn't. It was directed at Kacer, which means he didn't obviously direct it at Kacer, so he must have said it in a general way, but I'm not sure how you word that in a general way. You, without saying you both, but also not specifically saying, I haven't been talked game to. I don't know how to make it happen.
I don't know. It could be something like, I'm basing these nominations based on, you know, people who haven't talked game to me or
Boom.
Something like that. That's vague.
Boom.
So
great. Love it. All right. So Enzo talks with Kevin after the nominations. Kevin says, I'm in some shock. But what, like, was the not talking game thing, was that about me? And he's like, no, that was Kacer. And Kevin, you mentioned this, like, a sad puppy. Like,
his facial expressions, his Oh my gosh, completely. His body language, his expressions, even the tone of voice somehow screams sad puppy. He's just so, oh, he's just
what did
so
I
sad.
Do wrong?
Oh, you poor little thing. Like, oh, pat, pat, pat. Like,
did I not talk? Because I thought I did talk game with you, right?
And exactly. This requires Enzo to spend an inordinate amount of time talking to Kevin, being like, you're a pawn. Everybody loves you. Kevin was like, yeah, but I was on the block week one. And what was the vote? You know, and so it's like, well, remember, it was unanimous. Everybody loves you. You're going to be fine. I needed a pawn. You know, there's a clear target in the house. Of course, Kevin is also concerned if the veto is used. And so don't worry, I got a plan. So he really works overtime to make Kevin feel comfortable.
Don't worry about it, yo. Yo, you're going to be the floater that makes it to the end this season. That's it. That's it.
Yeah, you just straight up call. I don't know what type of game you're playing, but it seems like you're playing a floater game straight to Kevin's face.
Yeah, he's like, don't worry, you're gonna be the chosen one.
Yeah, like, you're gonna be the floater that makes it to the end.
You're the one we're dragging. That's it. That's it.
So, I don't know if that's an insult or a compliment, honestly. I can't tell.
Kevin says, well, maybe this is a good thing, because then people won't think that we're actually secretly good, right? And he's like, yeah. This is a one-time thing. You're returning the favor. I stuck my neck out for you week one campaigning. So you're returning the favor for me. That's all. That's it. Yo, it's done. I'll never put you on the block again.
Exactly. He promises, I will never put you on the block again. So add Kevin to the list of people that Enzo can never put up. I mean, you know, in the future.
Yeah, 4 weeks from now. Look, Kevin, I'm sorry, yo. I had to. You had to repay the favor. I kept you the week that I was HOH. I'm never going to do this to you again, though. I swear it, yo.
But everyone loves you. Remember last time you were on the block against K-Serve? It was a unanimous vote. You know, it's going to be something like that all over again. Just hit replay.
Yeah. Christmas talks to Kaser. She's trying to give him a pep talk. She says, I am sad, but I want to focus on what you can do to stay. And he's like, okay, can I count on you to play in the veto and use it on me? He's like, well, she's like, look, I completely understand if you don't want to expose yourself. And she's like, I want to say yes, but let me think about it.
Yeah, about that. When did you perform? Then she just starts going, and when did you perform the best in different competitions? Let's like, okay, so Red Bull, yes, Red Bull, no. Did you do better before or after? Really just gets into that, trying to just give him the pep talk. Please don't talk about me playing in the veto.
And she goes on to like explain to him how to win competitions. When I won my competition, this is what I was doing. So I feel like I think I've seen where you go wrong sometimes, and this is maybe how you can fix that.
Christmas using the phrase reverse engineer to a biotech guy was so hilarious to me. Like, that is such a common concept. Everybody knows that. Christmas, what are you even talking about? I mean, to be fair, if she was talking to David, it may have been legit advice, but to talk to Kaser about this stuff just felt very much like, do you even know who you're talking to?
Mm-hmm. Kaser also talks to Danny. He says, look, Danny, I'm not dumb. I know there's a big alliance working together. I might need to blow up your alliance. That's she's like, what? I'm not in it. I mean, I'm not in any. I mean, there isn't any. I mean, there's probably something, but I'm not in it. Anything. And he's like, OK, sure. The lines have been drawn. There was nothing I could have said. And that I didn't talk game with you thing was such BS. And she's like, oh, you talked game with him? He was like, yeah, like, you know, earlier today. And she's like, oh, but before then. Well, I mean, I'm not going to talk game with him when he's in Cody's back pocket. I'm not an idiot.
Yeah, this was like when a kid is lying about something and then you call them out on it. And they're like, yeah, but this other thing, though, like, that's actually, you know, of course, like, of course I wasn't going to do that, because he's saying I definitely talked game with Enzo, meaning today I talked game with Enzo versus the past 4 weeks of the game. Oh, that was pretty funny.
And like, this is, again, it's part of the problem. Kacer really does have this like old school mentality. He understands the new school game. He knows how it works, and he knows how effective it is. And that's why he's so against letting it happen. And I appreciate his energy and his enthusiasm and his passion for the game and how he wants it to be exciting. But the problem is that if he thinks that he can't talk game with anybody that's in Cody's back pocket, then he can't talk game with anybody because they're all in Cody's back pocket. He needs to play the game that he has been given, that is in front of him, and not the game that he wants to be able to be playing.
Mm-hmm. And Cody today was wearing some very, very tight jeans. So I don't know how he's fitting so many people in his back pocket, which, by the way, if anybody cares, Cody was wearing very tight jeans. Danny pointed it out. Enzo pointed it out. Real tight around the thigh area.
They were too tight.
That's valuable information to anyone.
They were too tight. Cody, usually pretty well-dressed. Too tight, Cody.
Too tight.
Just a little bit looser.
Let him out in the thigh area.
Yeah.
He's a soccer player, okay? He's got big quads.
so that was an interesting conversation. Kacer's going to go and talk with Enzo. He says, look, I get it. You guys are after me. You're playing an excellent game. I respect it. Enzo's like, what? No. I'm just friends with everyone, yo. That's it. That's all. I just like to be friends with everyone. Keisha's like, so when is it that you made the brigade in your season? And it's like, I mean, we made it early, yo. Like the first, it was the saboteur thing. That was the lights turned off and we were talking to each other and it was like that. We knew we weren't the saboteur. That's it, yo. That was all. And Enzo's like, all right, well, look, I do want to work with you if I stay. All right. Great.
I was so baffled that he asked that question, that Kacer asked that question directly of like, when did you make the brigade? You know, because Kacer is, the only thing he can think about is that big alliance and trying to, I don't know, somehow dismantle it or just figure it out. I'm not entirely sure what Kacer is trying to do here in the situation, but of course he keeps pitching, look, I'm a free agent. You can pick me up. You can work with me. I will work with you. I don't really even know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Danny's going to talk with Nicole. She says that she doesn't really want Kacer to go, that she'd prefer somebody else like Bailey or Devon or David. And Nicole says, but he has to because the battle back. It's like, OK, they talk about, OK, but next week we're going to get Bailey out. So Danny is now, she's fully now on the get Bailey out train with Nicole and Christmas and a few others at this point. Bailey really starting to look like she's in a lot of danger here.
But we then have the guys on the other side who want Dagon and not Bay. This is the thing that I'm thinking of when I talk about the alliance being so ready to fracture. They are one Bay and Day nomination away from just shattering because you have the two different sides that each have their agendas that I think are willing to fight for it.
So Danny says, she says this to Nicole. She says, we need to start working harder at very, very subtly getting people to go after each other.
Yes, because you were not doing that before. Maybe the distinction was subtle. She's like, Yeah. You know, instead of planting the seeds and then just dumping water on them, maybe we just plant them and sprinkle them a little bit. Maybe that's our approach. But no, of course, she's not talking about that, which I would love to see what just planting seeds, thinking that Danny has not been planting seeds. What does Danny think planting seeds looks like?
And I feel like this is Danny's old school side of herself popping out, right? This is such an old school mentality of like, oh, I need to get this person to not trust this person. I need to like plant this seed over here. Like, oh, did you hear that maybe this person is like, oh, did you, this person's pretty threatening, huh? Like I can be the voice in their ear. But that's not what the players have learned is effective over the years. What's effective is Vanessa's positioning style, right? You get people to go after somebody else by making them feel like that person is a threat to their game specifically. You don't say Memphis, big threat, right? He's going to win in the end. He's great at competitions. We need to get Memphis out, right? that does nothing for the person you're talking to except expose your own position. If you want that person to target Memphis, you need to convince them that Memphis is a threat to them specifically. Then they will go after Memphis. But Dani thinks that all she needs to do is just throw out some like, did you hear? Did you hear that Liana's really good at competitions? We need to probably do something about that, right?
And this is the whole problem with the Bay and Day conversation. So whenever Dani is talking with Enzo or Cody about whether or not they should go for Bay over Day, she does that very general style of, but you know, Bay is like this, Bay, or you know, and Day is like this, versus instead of why is Bailey a direct threat to your specific game? And so she's not doing that, and I really don't think that that's going to change. I also think Dani is already in a precarious position, so if she starts to go even more intense with trying to push her agenda, I think it's curtains for her.
And that's something that like both Cody and Nicole, even they're much better at this. When Nicole wanted to flip people on Bailey, she worked on people. She worked on Christmas. She worked on Dani. She worked on Ian. She convinced all of them that Bailey was a threat to their games, Bailey was a threat to her game, that, oh, Bailey's coming for me. And if Bailey's coming for me, that's bad for you. So we need to do something about this. She even had Cody on board for a little bit, and she might work on Cody when she needs to, if they could both go on the block, by telling Cody like, oh, I heard that Bailey was saying your name. And that was like, that's the most direct approach, but even that is more effective than like, oh, but Bailey's better at competitions or whatever. Right.
Which honestly is a good argument. Because if Enzo and Cody feel close with Bay and feel like she's not going to put them up, oh, you want someone who's good at competitions then, because she'll win and put up someone like David, who they don't want to take time, or Enzo doesn't want to take time taking out this week. So, in fact, you're advocating for why Bailey should stay.
It's the David thing. When Dani says we need to watch out for Memphis, we need to watch out for Tyler, whoever, all she's really doing is telling people that she's going after those people. And that if I'm Enzo and Dani says to me, we have to watch out for Tyler, he's really good at competitions, he's cutthroat, whatever. Then I'm thinking, great, I don't have to worry about Tyler. Dani's worrying about Tyler for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And now I have dirt on Dani and Tyler. Like, I can make them go after each other if I want to. If Dani says, hey, I think that Tyler, or if Dani says like, hey, Bailey was telling me that she was really close to Tyler and that he's like super close to her. And I'm concerned about like, what if he's working over here with them and he's, you know, going to do this, like something that you can eventually flip around to. Oh, Tyler might be coming for you. Tyler might be planning to backstab you soon. That would make Enzo think, OK, that's a me problem. I need to deal with this.
Right. And I think a good example of the way that this can be effective of, you know, pointing out that, look, they're a threat to, it's a threat to your game, is what Cody does later with Enzo when he's talking about, look, they're talking about the replacement nominee. And it's mm-hmm. like, you know, I just, you know, I'm just thinking, you know, just spitballing here, of course. If you put Enzo up, you might piss off Nicole. If you don't put David up, you're going to piss off Davon. So, you know, he's just, you know, I don't know if you've thought about that. I just wanted to throw that idea out there. But then you might have two people who are mad at you, not mad at me, mad at you, Enzo. So you need to be concerned about it.
Mm-hmm. And I think you meant Ian, not
Enzo. Ian. Yes. Yeah. Make sure that's clear there.
I almost did it earlier. You should have said Eos.
Eos. I like Menzo better for talking couple names, but still.
So Dani says she wants to get Christmas to go against Memphis. So she wants to talk to Christmas, being like, Memphis is dangerous. And they, she says, I love him. We can't have Enzo in the finals. Can't have him. He's too dangerous. I feel like you, me, and Cody, we're on an even playing field for the most. He's only won, two competitions. We're on an even playing field. So I think the three of us are set. And again, this is Dani thinking that she's got both of them covered, right? So, like, she's very, very see-through sometimes. And Nicole's just like, I don't think I can win, though.
She's due for a win, though. That's what I keep hearing.
Oh, yeah. Danny does talk about how she's like, I really like Tyler. Like he's such a, cause Tyler came in. She's like, he's such a nice guy. And I'm like, I cannot believe the same person who wrote those tweets about Tyler, who came into the game, like he sucks, is now fully snowed by Tyler. He's coming for her soon. And she's like saving him for like the final five.
Yikes. Yeah, this is a misread here. I don't know what it is. Is it the glasses? Is it the hair? Is it just the chill?
I feel like I haven't seen the glasses in a while.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. I don't know what's up with that.
Maybe the glasses were preventing him, because we know that he holds a lot of power in his eyes. So the glasses might be like what are they? Cyclops? Is that the guy?
Oh, that like yeah, the X-Men. You mean that? Predict? Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's got to keep them holstered.
That's right. Holster the glasses, buddy. Okay. It's time for the power to come out. Okay. Xavier didn't train you for nothing.
Danny also asks, she's like, have you seen Bailey running around in Janelle's clothes? And she wants us to think that she didn't vote for her. Come on. And Nicole's like, oh, Janelle gave her the clothes. And Danny's like, she probably didn't even give them to him. She probably took them.
In what world does that, what? Like, first of all, why are you accusing her of that? You know that they're friends, they're close, so why wouldn't she leave her clothes? It's like a baseless accusation. And I don't know, it's somehow tied into just trying to throw Bay under the bus. And so if she's going to use the vote, the jacket, I don't like it.
Yeah, Danny has, like, I think exhibited a series of problematic behaviors toward Bailey and Devon over the course of the last, you know, however, 24 days. And it's starting to get pretty annoying. It's starting to get pretty, all right.
Look, what do you have against them? What is even?
Why are we accusing Bailey of stealing these clothes? In what world did Bailey steal the clothes from Janelle?
It's just, it's so unnecessary, and it's frustrating.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Enzo's going to talk with Memphis. They're such grumpy old men. This whole conversation is just like commiserating together about how annoyed they are about the house.
They're all coming up to me, yo, like it's that's it, like they just keep coming up there being like, hey, do this, do that. It's like, what do you want? You win something, you win something, you do it, that's it, yo.
Memphis is like, same thing. They were up there in my week, they were like coming up to me like, oh, backdoor Janelle, you won the veto, you should do this, you should do that. Oh my god, it was so annoying. It's like, yes, that's exactly it, yo. And like, Ian came up here, he was talking to me for like a half an hour. I was so annoying. He was like, oh, what happens if the veto is used? And I want to be like, I'll put you up if the veto is used. That's what's gonna happen, so you better win the thing.
Same thing. He's never talked game to me until today, right? The reason why he put up Kacer. So he's like, I'll just backdoor him, man. And it's so funny to watch the two of them commiserate over the fact that people wanted to have strategic conversations with them when they were HOH. Kind of how it works, bros.
And he's like, Ian was talking about like Kacer's got the stink. He's got the stink, like the curse, like nobody wants to talk to him. Like, what are you doing, man? Like, what is that? Like, why is this kid talking to me?
Yes, there was a lot of the stink. He's got the stink on him. You don't want to get the stink on you. And then it was like when something else happened, it was like, I can't remember what it was. Oh, when you're like tight with certain people, you don't want to get the stink on you. The stink. I don't know. Does Enzo need to take a shower? Does he need to clean the HOH?
It's Ian's thing. Ian was talking about this with Janelle before, and now he's talking about it with Kacer.
But yeah, but now Enzo has picked it up, and now Enzo keeps referring to the same phrase over and over again as well. He's got the stink on him.
He thinks it's really funny. Like, this is such a weird concept that Ian came up with.
Yes, such a weird concept.
All right. Enzo talks to Cody. Cody says, Enzo, you don't win this veto. We don't need you to win this veto. We don't need you to win four comps in 4 weeks. People will start talking about it.
Yes, exactly. You know, like, good on you, bro. You're winning comps. That's awesome. But people talk about that. You know, we don't want to have people talking about the fact that you're winning so many competitions.
Mm-hmm. Enzo says he wants to pick Tyler for the veto. Like, that kid's a beast, yo. He'll win it for me. He says that they talk about Ian going up if Kacer wins. And Cody does, as you mentioned, kind of like, Cody told Nicole that he was going to try and squash the Ian backdoor plan if he could, because he does think it's a little early for it. But when he's talking to Enzo, he doesn't try very hard because it's not worth sticking his neck out here. Like, if Enzo wants to do it, Cody's going to let Enzo do it. But he does bring up the point of, like, you know, it might piss some people off. You know, it might be like, we've got Ian covered in this four person thing. But, you know, if you like, it's Ian. So, yeah, we should also do it. And Enzo's like, yeah, that's it. That's it. That's it. Yo, like, Nicole, she's going to have to deal with it. That's all. That's it.
I mean, I'm sure Cody is thinking in the back of his mind as well. Look, if Ian goes, it's no sweat off my back. Right. I mean, if anything, it'll push Nicole closer to him because now Nicole no longer has Ian. So I think that, you know, Cody tries. I think he takes the correct approach, but he doesn't push too hard and is willing to let it happen, especially because Enzo is just so adamant about whatever Enzo wants to do. And it's not worth it.
Yeah, you're right. Like, this is the right call. Like, I feel like Enzo's the kind of guy, if Cody tried to push an agenda too much with Enzo, especially protecting Nicole, I think Enzo would go, maybe I like Tyler more.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Cody's playing this right. Enzo's also, he talks about Day, talking about the boys' alliance. She keeps bringing up the boys' alliance. They all talk about this guys' alliance. I just want to tell them, yo, there is one. You're in it. You're a part of it. That's right. The guys' alliance.
Oh my goodness gracious. I don't understand why you're talking about it.
It is a guys' alliance. You're just in it.
Oh, that's so funny. I mean, to hear Enzo just like rehash and talk about all the different connections in the house and try to make Dave be like, stop, what are you even talking about? Oh, it's really funny.
Yeah. He says that Kacer asks, he was like, Kacer asked me how quickly I made the brigade. Like, yeah, I work fast. That's how it works, yo. That's it. If you don't talk game in the first 3 days, you're out. That you're the target, yo. That's all.
Or apparently if you play in the safety suite competition, because that is the other reason why Janelle and Kacer both got the stink on them in the first place, because they played that freaking safety suite. If they hadn't played it, they wouldn't have done that. They would never have put that target on themselves.
Yeah. And Enzo's another like a great point. This is what I was talking about in the first 3 days. Like, the people who are holding back are missing the train. Like, the train is going to take off without them, and they will be running behind the train on the tracks for the rest of the season. And that's exactly what happened. Enzo is completely right. That's how the game is played. You have to get in early. It's very important.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the power structure is already set. And so, but again, it's so fragile at the moment. And oh my gosh, I just really, what I want to see happen is I want Kacer to win veto, obviously. Although, unfortunately, that might mean losing Ian. But I think if Ian goes up, I think Nicole will be upset. And I think that it could start to fracture it a little bit more. So then going into the next week, I'm just ready for this whole thing to break apart. This could be wishful thinking on my part.
I don't think, if Ian gets backdoored, I think that Nicole is going to be like, I don't care.
She'll just have to give up.
Don't be mad at me. I don't think that I'm not okay with this. Because she doesn't care. She doesn't care.
Yeah,
enough.
I know, but can she be upset when I want her to be upset? She should be upset. Gosh darn it, Nicole. But I do have to give her credit. I mean, I think she, especially in terms of convincing people to go after the targets that she wants, I mean, she's excellent at that. And it's really fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. So Danny and Cody talk a bit as well. Cody lets her know that Ian is an option for Enzo, but he is trying to talk Enzo out of it. Not really, but Danny says that she wants Bailey out next, and she wants to take a shot at Memphis in the double. When that comes up, they talk about that. They also they had like a weird moment, which I will say I read the transcript of first, and then I watched the video.
Oh, you're talking about the bickering?
After. Yeah.
Like when they bickered?
The
yes.
bickering. It sounded way worse in the transcript than it actually was in person. Like, it was very, it's typical Cody kind of like smiling and laughing through it the whole time. And it was not super serious.
Yes, exactly. It wasn't super serious. You know, Puya and I have gotten into like fights about this. For example, last night, Puya was talking about how he's over the joke of how people call Christmas like Arbor Day or whatever. But he said Ann Arbor Day. I was like, no, 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 it's just Arbor Day. And he was like, no, no, it's Ann Arbor Day. Like, it's a Christmas or a Halloween. And I was like, that's not what you say. And we got into an argument about it, but it's very similar to this. It was playful. And later I had to ask him, I was like, are you fighting with me genuinely? Or are you doing this with a bit? Because for a second I didn't know. So in this household, we now refer to Arbor Day as Ann Arbor Day, as in A-N, not A-N-N Arbor, like Ann Arbor, like the city. But anyway, this conversation was much more akin to that than an actual legitimate fight.
Okay, well, we have a Christmas in the house as well, so that'll be interesting. Kacer's going to talk with Devon and Bailey about the first week and how he felt like he was being targeted before the safety suite. Devon and Bailey disagree, but he says he had a read. It was a correct read. He went a little far with it, but it was a correct read. He also says that he heard that people were trying to get David nominated. They're like, who told you that? And he says,
Ian told me. I secretly have Ian 100%. He loves me and he wants to work with me and he loves that I'm going after Tyler and Cody. I've got him. And they're like, really? It's like, sure. 100%. Believe me, I'm really good at this. I'm really good at what I do. I've got Ian. And they're like, okay.
Has anyone else told you that you're really good at it? Or is this just you saying you're good at it?
Kacer talks about Janelle and how she's a huge part of the show. He doesn't think that they plan for these kinds of things, but he does hope that Janelle was right about the dates, about that she will be coming back. Bailey, though, this is a very long conversation. Where they go over all of this stuff. Bailey is very like visibly annoyed throughout the conversation. And at this point, she kind of like stands up and she's like, look, I just want you to know that Janelle and you have done a lot of damage to my game. You used my name. You told them I was 100% locked in. He's like, I never said that. She said, I never said you. I said, Janelle, even when it's just us, you say these kinds of things. And Kacer's like, well, do you understand? And she's like, let me finish. I'm friends with both of you. You and Kevin, both. I'm friends with both. One has dragged my name through the mud. So don't act like I'm on your side here. Kacer's like, I didn't mean to do any of that. She says, you didn't ask permission. 2 weeks in a row, you didn't ask permission. He says, I'm sorry. I didn't see it that way. I apologize. And she says, I'm already so deeply associated with you and Janelle that the other side will never pull me into anything. So just don't use my name this week. And he says, I haven't. She said, this is for the future. And it's like, whoa.
Yeah. At first I was like, wait, what? Is she actually having this conversation with him right now? But yeah, I mean, I think getting to the point of like, don't associate, do not associate us together anymore because I am trying to preserve my own game, was clearly the objective there.
Which like she has a point here, but I was like very surprised because like this is not just her trying to get him to stop saying her name. We'll talk about it. So Day is like, well, you did say my name. And he's like, when? She's like, well, did you hear about all this David stuff? And she lets him know. She's like, he said that you were the one telling people that I was flipping on him. He's like, that's not true, because it's not really. And Bay says, well, regardless, the problem is every time there's a rumor about our names, it stems from you. your emotions get crazy sometimes. He's just like, no, I am not an emotional player. I am a game player. I get passionate about the game. That's what I get emotional about. Bailey just leaves. She goes upstairs. And Kacer and Day continue to talk about the David stuff. He's like flabbergasted that David is saying that he said these things. He's like, what? He's like, it had to have been Cody, right? Cody's trying to set me up. And she's like, no, David said it. David said that you were doing this. And he's like, why?
Mastermind David.
So Bailey goes upstairs to Cody, Enzo, and Danny. And she's like, oh my God. Kacer has been cornering us in that bathroom for an hour. And she tells him everything that Kacer was saying. And she's like, I can't go back down there. I can't talk to him right now. And so she waits up there until Kacer leaves. And they're like all watching him on the screens. They're like, oh, there he goes. There he goes. And she's like, oh, he's going to see me that, and I'm not in bed. And he's going to freak out and he's going to come looking for me. And of course, he just walks into the bedroom. Enzo's like, I feel bad about this. Yo, this is weird. And then Bailey's just like, I just can't deal with him.
I mean, it's not bad for Bailey long term. When you have someone who's already ostracized from the house, they're going to be a target regardless. It does make sense to step away, remove yourself from the stink. I think the interesting part for me was when Enzo saying that he felt bad about the situation. I was like, do you feel bad about the way that he's being treated? Do you feel bad about the strategic move? Because I would really like to know a little bit more about what Enzo's thinking.
And honestly, it did feel to me like both, because Cody was also like, I'll go talk to him. I can go talk to him. Like, it kind of felt like, I don't know about Danny, because Danny's Danny, but like Enzo and Cody, I think were both kind of like, this is a little much. So I just didn't get what Bailey was doing here. Like if she wanted to distance herself from Kacer so much, then like, why didn't she do it earlier when it mattered? Like Kacer's on his way out already. They don't care about her connection to him anymore, 'cause he's about to go home. It felt like a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did feel too much. Okay, like I like the concept, I like the idea, but the level was overkill, and I think then that has the tendency to then potentially push other people away.
Mm-hmm. Well, Enzo does talk to Danny late into the night after everyone else leaves. He does ask her like, "Hey, yo." You think Nicole would get mad if I took out Ian? And she's like, oh, I know. I don't think so. Wait, you mean like this week? He's like, yeah. And she's like, no, I don't think he would, but she would. But like, I mean, he is a good shield. So, and he's like, that's all. But you know, it's Ian. She's like, let's just focus on getting Kacer out this week. If we can't get Kacer out, then yeah, maybe we'll talk about it. So, yeah. That's it. That's it. Yo.
Well, because I think Danny was a little nervous. I think it was Danny who was talking. I think it might have been in this conversation. I can't. They all blend together in my head. But it was something about how Nicole had said that she would be interested in taking Ian to like Final Six, which Final Six is a long way.
Yeah. Danny does want Ian out.
Exactly. So is it early for her? Potentially. But, you know, if Kacer does win the veto, I don't think that Danny would be opposed to Ian backdoor.
Mm-hmm. So. That was mostly the day here. That's what we got. It was an interesting day. It was a long day. Lots of game talk. Enzo is an HOH. He's a very grumpy HOH. Doesn't like having to talk to people.
Memphis rubbed off on him.
Yeah.
Which it's so funny for someone who doesn't want to have these conversations with people. He emphasized the fact that he had to talk to everybody. So I don't know if just out of necessity, he feels like this is the correct move. But his download with Memphis was hilarious. We're just going to go to a bar. We're going to get shit faced after this.
Okay. Yeah, like Enzo has the same attitude as Memphis, but he, unlike Memphis, where Memphis will literally just like shut people out and lock the door. Enzo is like, he understands that he needs to do all this stuff,
mm-hmm.
but he's just as grumpy about it.
Yes, exactly.
All right. So that's what we have for you. Anything else that you wanted to bring up, Liana?
No, I don't think so. I think we covered everything. We're going to get the veto today, see what happens. But most likely, I think it will be Kacer going home and then a potential Ian backdoor, depending on who wins veto.
All right. So that's it. You can. That's it. Yo. You can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taren or on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong. I will be back tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern to go over the Legacy Watch in the Saturday Night Roundtable. We've got a guest with us that will be fun. And CBS actually recently posted their own Legacy Watch.
Oh my gosh. I could not believe, I didn't think it was real at first. Are you guys right? going to talk about it on the Legacy Watch?
I thought it was just going to a fan thing that I was like, well, okay, it's a fan thing.
That's what I thought too. So anyway, so there's multiple levels. There's like platinum, gold, silver, and bronze, different tiers.
Yeah. My tiers are better.
I don't know. They're coming for your wig here with their own tiers. But it was because they put Dr. Will in the platinum. And then it was, I think Derek and Dan were in like the next category. And I was like, oh, shots fired in the Dan versus
somebody's mad that Derek and Dan turned the season down.
Oh my gosh. This is, yes, direct retaliation for that. We're only going to put you in the gold category. Take that.
So yes, we will go over the CBS Legacy Watch. I release a survey after the update on Twitter at Armstrong Taren. You can fill out the legacy of the players that are currently playing. I am also for this week going to add a bonus segment at the bottom where you can rank all of the people who were in the CBS Legacy Watch, and we can compare to see how close they are.
Oh my gosh. Yes, I'm excited. I have thoughts.
All right. So that's where we have Liana. Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Liana RHAP, plugging along with the RHAP BNB. So Mike Bloom and I are getting together to play some fun and games with Brian Cohen this week. If you have any games, submit them to us either on Twitter, or you can email us at RHAPBNB@gmail.com. And then carrying on with Canada's Drag Race. So we are almost done with that season. We have video podcast now, so check that out on the YouTube page.
All right. Thank you guys for joining us. I'll see you next time.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.